everybody. I guess happy Wednesday? I don't really know what I'm going to release this. I think we're past Wednesday at this point, but hello, everybody. Welcome in. Thank you for swinging by on our surprise audio drop for the podcast, Aces Up the Sleeve. We're doing just a big recap of everything that's happened in the last month. It's been very exciting. We're going to talk about some in-house stuff, and as you guys can hear, Jared is joining me because I'm all excited. I'm ready to jump into it. I've completely forgotten that Jared's here.
I'm here.
But Jared has joined me today in our recording room. We're going to talk about the Preakness and everything that happened with that. We're going to talk about a lot of in-house Pocket Aces Racing stuff. We had some movement recently in our own four corners of the world. And then we're also going to talk about some really exciting Breeders' Cup news that you actually texted me last night and said, hey, we need to make sure we talk about this during the recap. So I know you're jazzed about this too.
Yeah, everybody's always excited about the Breeders' Cup, and you know it's going to look a little different the next 2 years.
I know. I'm super excited, and I'm sure our folks who kind of maybe keep up with racing a little bit more know what we're talking about, know what's going on. But for some of our newer listeners, I think you guys are going to be going to learn a lot, and I think you guys are going to be excited by the end of that segment too, because it's going to be a pretty cool opportunity. So let's go ahead and jump into our in-house stuff, since we kind of need to catch some folks up. It's been a minute since we've been on the air. But I think I'll just kind of start with my little tidbits, like just the small little things that I have off the top of my head. I know our Bolt D'Oro, Relish the Dawn, I believe, is her mom's name. Our 2-year-old filly by Bolt D'Oro, she now has an official name. She is now Venus D'Oro, which I think is appropriate, because she's a very lovely filly. How has she been doing, by the way? I've seen kind of updates on her kind of passively. I've kept an eye on her, but how is she doing lately?
Yeah, she's doing great. You know, she had a little, like a little 2-week stretch where she just wasn't feeling herself. And, you know, we didn't know if it was maybe a little growth spurt, maybe just, where we had been potentially asking more of her, obviously coming out of the 2-year-old sales. They're prepped to do one thing, and that is to go fast for a furlong. And we've been asking her to pick up the pace, put in longer gallops, and do a little bit more than what they're doing in those sales breezes. So that could be it, that we were asking her to do more, and she just needed a little break. She wasn't quite as far along maybe as we thought she was, so we backed off her for a couple weeks, and she's come out of that just looking great, or she's galloping again, and probably get back on the work tab here in a couple weeks, and the goal is really to get her get her to the track sooner rather than later, assuming she's ready. Because we'd really like her to be a part of our Kentucky Downs aspirations this fall. Mm-hmm. But she's doing great. And, yeah, Venus D'Oro is the name. I don't know who suggested that name, but it was...
Tell us in the comments. I'm sure jumping to claim that name.
But it was, we had it on our initial list of 10, and it was right up there with the top three. They were the far away, the biggest... vote getters in that first round of voting, and then it was a 1-vote difference between Venus D'Oro and Keen Observer.
Photo finish.
With my favorite of those three, Miss Thunderbolt, coming in a relatively distant third. I thought about rigging the vote, but that wouldn't have been right, so I didn't do that. Well, but no, it's a good name, and happy to have that have that process done, and everybody can start referring to her appropriately. And in fact, I'm sitting here as we talk on the webpage, getting her name uploaded and changed in there. So
yep. Ooh, excuse me. I swapped out her name on our partner app, and I had a couple people message me like, hey, is this official now? I'm like, yep, it's all right. You can label her as Venus D'Oro now.
Yep.
But she's been updated on our end, and I'm excited. Like every picture, every video I've ever seen of her, she's incredibly impressive. But to kind of ask you, for maybe some of our folks who don't aren't super familiar with like the 2-year-old sales, and is it unusual for horses who come out of that 2-year-old sale to suddenly sometimes be like, oh boy, this is more than I thought this was gonna be?
No, it's not unusual at all, and it's definitely not unusual to see horses come out of that sale and need a little time to get ready for the races. You know, a lot of times there's a misconception that horses just go, you know, straight out of those sales and into the and right to the racetrack and into races. But you know, again, getting ready to go as fast as you can go for one furlong or maybe two furlongs is very, very different than getting a horse ready to run a 5-6 furlong race.
Well, even for the 4 furlong, we have 4.5 furlong. It's called a baby dash. And even mm-hmm. those, like, it's still different than just 1 furlong fast as you can.
It's a very different, you know, if you ask Wesley Ward what he's doing, you know, his training methods to get those horses ready for Keeneland
yep.
in April, it's going to be very different than what the 2-year-old consigners yep. are doing to get those horses ready for the sale. So it's not unusual at all. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you get them back from the sale and after about a week, they just kind of deflate. Because they've been pushed so hard and pushed, you know, to really exert themselves. Maybe for some of them that weren't quite ready to do so, and you know, they just kind of they look like a balloon that's you popped and all the air is you know dropping out of it or popping flowing out of it. And you know, we didn't see that with her at all. You know, she's looked as good, you know, except for that one little stretch, and that was after about. You know, 5 or 6 weeks in that she started doing that. So, again, it's just you know, maybe she just had a little something funky going on. We, you know, they're like us. Sometimes
it's just a bad day, really.
Yeah. So it's nothing concerning. She's looking great now, and you know, we're back on track and getting her ready to get her over to Brendan Walsh.
Well, that's good to hear. And I mean, I imagine though. And our partners have seen it with the scratch notices, and I'm sure everyone's got PTSD at this point hearing that phrase, but it has been raining so much. And I imagine the constant Washington environment for Kentucky probably hasn't done her any good mentally either.
You know, and that could be, I mean, it's just, man, it's just been miserable. But you know what? We'll get through it, and probably in a month or 6 weeks from now, we'll be wishing it was raining, so... But we've had lots of scratches, horses or races coming off the turf. Lots of, you know, in some cases, they're not riding the turf races because of weather.
Keated Ann scratched this morning, and we're recording on a Thursday, and yep. he scratched Keated this Ann morning. Keated
scratched this morning. I'm shocked that Belterra Park is running with as much rain as we've had for Temple City Magic, but they are running, and hopefully the rain stays away tomorrow for Chemical Reaction. We've been trying to get those two on the turf for so long that we've had just one start and stop and scratch after another, so... Hopefully, they stay on the turf through the rest of the day and then on Friday. But if not, we got a whole slew of races that are possible for them coming up. And you know, we just again, that's part of turf racing, unfortunately. But that's we'll deal with it.
Yeah. And to kind of not to swap gears too abruptly, but we like to announce them. You know, these things happen. It's a natural part of having a syndicate, but we do have some retirement notices that we do have to talk about. And I actually recently posted an update on one of our long retired horses. Red 5 had entered the New Vocations program. And we actually got an email, and part of the New Vocations program, for maybe folks who haven't heard of it before, it's basically we love this feature of having a lifetime tracking network. And no matter, you know, where this horse goes, we're always updated every time his people change, anytime he moves around, you know, we're updated pretty consistently on him. So it was nice to find out that Red 5 has been readopted, and he is now going up to New Hampshire with Stephanie to be an eventing trail horse. So that's interesting. That's very interesting, because I think our first published update on him, I think sometime maybe in October, last October. I think that first event was that he was in the process of learning groundwork, and now he has swapped over to more like thinking and energy intensive activities like eventing and trail riding. And some people think, oh, trail riding is just walking between trees, but not necessarily. Like, there are obstacles. It's called there's an event in the Retired Racehorse Project called the Competitive Trail Horse. competitive trail event. So it does require some thinking. It works their brain. So it's really cool to see that he's that willing and he still has that fortitude to want to keep doing that. So I'm very excited for Red 5. It's very cool.
Yeah, and speaking of notices, we just had a text the other day from, I guess yesterday, Cowboy Diplomacy is doing great in his new situation. Not new, I guess he's been with her for a little while. She's a former Midway student. So he's doing really, really well. Accusatory is apparently just loving his new home and new job, not running race, not training, bless his heart, he never did get to run, but really thriving very well where he is.
I mean, she even said he's a beast. He's huge.
Yeah, he's so big, and things are looking good with him. Microphones, we may have to find a new home for him. He's not doing quite as well, not quite working out like they'd hoped, and so our agreement with Jessica formerly from Midway but still associated with them somewhat, our agreement with her has always been if the retraining is not working out with any of the horses that they take, that we'll get him back and we'll get him into a new home, a new setup, a new opportunity. So she just don't have a whole lot of the details on why things aren't working. I think maybe just his ankles are just a little too much arthritis going on, and he needs to be more of just a pleasure pony and just being put under as much stress maybe as the retraining is putting on his body. So
I think he'll be happy as a pasture ornament, honestly.
And then we got King of the Party, who is newly placed in a new home, newly retired, and his owners, they're friends of our family. Actually, the lady's son dates my niece for a long time now. They got a beautiful 64 acres in Lexington. The mother and the daughter. They've been riding horses for years, at least the mother has, or the woman has, and the daughter has been riding for about 10 years, and they do eventing and other kinds of shows, and they plan to put King of the Party in a retired racehorse project, and they are just absolutely smitten in love with that horse. I mean, it was love at first sight. I was there when they came out to Joey's to look at him and check him out and make sure he was going to work, and Carly was like, well, I'm going to have to talk to my husband, make sure that this is okay, but I'll come pick him up on Tuesday.
So, I was getting ready to say, I was like, she's not asking for this is a notification. This is a generous prior notice that there's a new horse in your yard.
And they board horses, and they have several horses of their own, and it's just it's a really nice place, great facility, and they couldn't be happier that he's been trail riding around the farm already. And Emma just who is the daughter is going to be the primary rider and trainer of him, and she's found her horse. I mean, she's just in love with him already.
Yeah. So. Well, I posted a picture on our Facebook page if you guys want to go over there after listening to this and take a look. But it looks like King of the Party's pretty happy out there too, so.
Absolutely.
He looks like he's gonna have a good time.
Yep.
A very good time.
Got a lot of horses that gone to the track this month.
Oh, yeah.
Which has been kind of exciting.
Carol
Breeze.
Which is so weird for us.
First, the 3-year-old. So,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Carol Breeze. She's there. Had her first work at the track the other day with Brendan. He's been real happy with her so far. Secret Flame is now with Susan Anderson at Turfway Park. I mean, with her as much just wanting to get her off the tight turns there at the Thoroughbred Center as anything, and we think
she's
such a big filly that she's just taking a little time to come into her own. We've got who else has gone to the track here recently?
3-year-olds.
The Irish Law has gone. He is at Turfway Park with Brendan. Twirling Aces is with Brendan. They sent some video of their most recent works, I guess last week, and looks like they're doing really, really well. Brendan's been pleased with both of them. But he's been blown away, I would say, by Easy Wind, who had a bullet work in his first published work at Turfway. And, just granted, it was only 3 furlongs, but it was the fastest of 6 on the day. And, Brendan said he's just very, very, very forward and, much further along than any of the other 2-year-olds in his barn at this point. So, been really, really pleased and happy with him. And we got a couple that are likely headed to the track very soon. The first being Ace's Honor. We were going to try to, he would have gone this week, but it rained so much on Sunday and Monday that Kevin didn't want to do a full out breeze over the track there at Silver Springs. So he's going to breeze hopefully on a dry track on Monday, and assuming all goes well, then we'll get him on up to Ethan West. So that's kind of the state of things here in the stable. And in all that time, we've had all kinds of other fun stuff. I mean, the thing everybody wants to talk about right now seems to be the results of the Preakness. I know we're a little behind in that because that's been, almost 2 weeks now. But man, when watching it, I was astounded and amazed the journalism was able to win that race after that situation with the traffic that he got into. After watching the replays over and over again, I guess I wasn't terribly surprised that journalism didn't get taken down. But when the stewards came out and said that they were not going to fine or suspend Rispoli for dangerous riding, I was stunned. Mm-hmm. He could have killed people and horses. And granted, the hole wasn't there, and he went through anyway, and he made the hole. And I am stunned that he is riding right now and not under some kind of suspension and major fine. They fined Junior Alvarado, however much they did, $60,000, because he used the whip 2 times too many in the Derby. And then the Maryland...
And that wasn't like the final yards, too. It wasn't like he was out, a 16th pole out. Like, it's in the final yards.
And so you're saying that's too dangerous for the horse. Well, what Rispoli did was dangerous for horses, not just one horse, multiple horses and multiple riders. And the Maryland stewards, quite frankly, ought to be ashamed of themselves. And there should be a serious... question of whether or not they should be, in my mind, I'm just stunned and just shocked and quite frankly pissed about it.
It's interesting because
the stewards are negligent in their duties.
Well, and it's interesting because I have seen, which again, it kind of just shows you how this entire game really is also subjective, because I've seen a lot of very, not identical arguments, but very similar arguments for people who watch that same replay and claim that Flavien Prat came in onto Rispoli and journalism, which forced them into Clever again. And unfortunately,
the bottom line is the hole wasn't there.
Yeah.
The hole was not there. Whether Prat came over some, if he did, it was not much, but the hole was not there. Rispoli had plenty enough horse, obviously, that he could have kicked to the outside and have been just fine and not put anybody in danger. But instead, he bowled his way through, and it was awful.
And it's interesting because I'm reading some of his, and for folks who want to reference the article I'm talking about, I'm referencing the TDN, the Thurba Daily News article called Journalism McCarthy Validated by Dramatic Preakness Win. It was from that Saturday coverage. And some of the commentary that Rispoli offered after the race was it says, on the turn, and this is his commentary, this is what Rispoli said, on the turn, I thought Clever Again would go at least at the 8th pole. At the quarter pole, he gets stopped. And obviously Gosger had the jump on him. We were going that fast. A little gap was opened, and I said, it's now or never. From where I was, when I looked up, Luis Saez on Gosger opened up 4 lengths ahead of me, and it was the first time I used the crop on journalism. He switched his lead, and boom, he took off. So from what Rispoli was claiming, he believes that he had, it wasn't a big gap at where I'm not arguing for or against here, but from what his comments are suggesting, Rispoli is saying that he thought he had, however small of a gap, he thought he had one, and that he could get there, I'm assuming, before goal-oriented did.
If you think you've got a gap when you're driving your car and you think you've got a gap that you can, you know, run up behind one car and veer over into the other lane in front of another car, and you don't actually have that gap and you clip that other car that you, or one of those cars, you're the one in front of you, the one that's coming up on your left or your right, and you clip it by trying to make that turn driving aggressively, you're going to be the one that's at fault, and you're going to be the one who's responsible for the consequences. And so he may have thought that he had that to try to make that super, super tight hole. And I will acknowledge I've never ridden a horse at that speed, never will. But to say that that was not dangerous and irresponsible is a joke.
Yeah. And then I know Bill Finley on the Thoroughbred Daily News also did a follow-up with Rispoli. I'm not going to read that whole interview, but I'll link a bunch of these things to these articles and these posts in our comments section. But Bill Finley did a follow-up with him for the Thoroughbred Daily News, and Rispoli kind of with some of his comments, he says, you know, he understands that it's controversial, but he says it frustrates him that people treat him as if he's a kamikaze writer. And I think a lot of this right now is still very much emotional, because he's trying to celebrate this huge win. And it's one of those constant things that never stops hanging over your head, you know?
And again, I'm not suggesting that they should have taken him down in any way. Because the horses maintained their lines. So, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't a dangerous mm-hmm. ride. And jockeys get fined all the time and suspended mm-hmm. all the time for dangerous rides that don't result in disqualifications.
Yeah.
So, celebrate the win. You got the win, and you definitely had the best horse. I got no problem with the result standing as it was. But that doesn't mean that you didn't put others at risk, and your horse at risk, and other horses at risk, and other riders at risk. That's my issue, I'm not saying he shouldn't have won, he shouldn't celebrate, and it shouldn't be, and we shouldn't all be in awe of journalism, because that is truly one of the most amazing feats that I've seen, dangerous or not, the fact that that horse could still win the race. I thought there was no chance in hell that in that last 16th, I'd have put every dime I had on Gosker to win that race.
Yeah.
I am as stunned as I am by the lack of any kind of discipline from the jockeys or from the stewards.
Yeah.
I'm equally stunned and in awe of that horse to win that race. That was incredible, an incredible performance. So don't take anything away from the horse. I wouldn't say that Rispoli is a kamikaze rider. People make mistakes. He made a mistake, I think, in that, making that move.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's a terrible rider, bad person, reckless. He made a mistake trying to get through that hole. And people make mistakes, you pay the consequences for it. Junior made a mistake of hitting the horse two times, too many. He's going to pay $60,000 and get suspended. He's going to get days. Obviously he's working the process through and doing the appeal and all that, but he even admitted he did it. And I assume he's just trying to get through the Triple Crown races to avoid, to make sure that he's able to ride in these other races. So,
in the Belmont.
But I don't know. It's just, you got to face the consequences when you make a mistake. I think he's getting away with a really dangerous ride.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. We can't solve it here.
That's true. But but folks, if you want to read those articles, you know, for yourself and kind of formulate your own opinions, I'll link everything that I'm mentioning in our comments if you want to click on those and read through them and kind of decide for yourself what camp you sit in. Maybe you're in the middle. maybe, you know, you're one of those people who's like, I'm not really sure, I'm not, wasn't there, not on the horse, can't decide. But I'll let you, our listeners, decide what you're going to do with that. Speaking of the Belmont, why don't we go ahead and move then into talking about the Belmont. Obviously, if we're not, you know, they haven't drawn the field yet. We don't have any 100% concretes just yet. But we do have some, kind of like a rough field, kind of starting to assemble here. We know Sovereignty skipped the Preakness for this race, so we know Sovereignty is going to be there. Bob Baffert went on record saying that Rodriguez was a probable for this race as well. And I am referencing the most, I'm assuming this is the most recent, most current version of the field from the Horse Racing Nation website. Right now at the moment they have Sovereignty, Baeza, Rodriguez, Heart of Honor, Hill Road, Journalism, Grande, Captain Cook, and Crudo. And again, this is a probable, so this has reason to change, even before I get this edited and posted in the next couple days. So it has reason to change, but the only one that we kind of, ones that we for sure kind of know are coming are Sovereignty, and this is also assuming that everything goes to plan, is Sovereignty. Journalism is a question mark, but he's already been shipped to Saratoga, and they're really, really eyeballing it. But I know Hill Road, who won the Peter Pan, which is like the prep race for the Belmont, and those are really the only, like, for sure's, I think, at the moment, barring any crazy unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah, and that looks like that, you know, I think that's kind of pretty consistent across every outlet that you see, and you know, I hope that we get a good, clean ride and from everybody, and everybody is, you know, we don't have this controversy around this race, and it will be interesting to see which of the three closers is
the best of the bunch.
Is going to come out the best. Yeah. You know, the way things have been, you know, it'll probably be Baeza this time.
I mean, he's got every reason to. He's a half brother to a Kentucky Derby and a Belmont Stakes winner, one after the other. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. I think I briefly read something that John Sheriffs was not going to send Baeza, but again, I have not. It changes so much.
That could be.
I don't have a clue.
I just read something saying that he was coming, so I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, once they draw the race, that's our for sure at that point. Yeah. But like, if let's say this, the field that I am seeing and that you are seeing, if this field gets in its entirety, I would like them to also, if it's possible, I don't know how the connections are currently feeling about this, but I would love for them to nominate Torpedo Anna's half brother. What is his name? McAfee, I think. I would love for them to nominate him because he battled Captain Cook. Every inch they were together, they fought down to the wire. And it was literally just Hill Road came out of the clouds to kind of pick them off. But I would love to see McAfee get nominated in here as well, potentially. Because this would be a spectacular race. We would essentially have the Kentucky Derby winner, the Kentucky Derby third, assuming Baeza's coming in, but we have between myself and Jared, we've heard contradictory things, so you know, just take this with a grain of salt. But assuming if they do send him, the Kentucky Derby third, the winner of the Wood Memorial, Heart of Honor, who ran fifth in the Preakness, he's the British bred Honor AP. We have Hill Road, the winner of the Peter Pan, the winner of the Preakness, the second place horse in the Wood Memorial, the third placer from the Peter Pan, and the winner of the Sir Barton Stakes, which was on the Preakness undercard. So this is going to be an absolutely wild race. No matter, like, if we lose one or two left or right, like, this is still going to be an incredible race. Because these are top quality credentials. This is going to be insane.
Yep, and, you know, it's a little different Belmont than obviously than what we usually see, because the Belmont going a mile and a half at Belmont is not usually a super great race for closers, and obviously the favorites in this race are going to be closers, but going at Saratoga, going a mile and a quarter, where maybe you get a little Better chance for some speed to be out on the front end, and I'm not sure at this point who that's going to come from, but definitely, you know, probably going to set up better here for these closures than it would at Belmont Park going a mile and a half. Still don't know why they couldn't have, how they couldn't have figured out some way to get a mile and a half at Saratoga in a safe manner, but
Somebody wrote in. I think somebody was being interviewed on the TDN, or they wrote in a letter to the editor. But I vaguely remember reading something on the Thoroughbred Daily News that said that the current configuration, the current running distance at the mile and a quarter of the Belmont Stakes, is actually more appealing to the breeding portion of this stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
Than the mile and a half. Because, especially with how breeding has gone lately, which I'm glad to see so many like Curlins and Quality Roads and you know the Justifies, who their sires have consistently proven that they can throw these kinds of classic distance horses, or have gotten the classic distance themselves. I'm very happy to see that there's more of these sires here, but it's like it's kind of very telling when it's like you shorten the Belmont and breeders are like, well, this Belmont for us is better than the one that's going to return to Belmont Park in 2 years.
It's not that there's not a ton of mile and a quarter races, and there's even fewer mile and a half races. So and to your point, people breed for speed, and it's a whole lot easier for speed, to go a mile and a quarter than it is a mile and a half. Though to be fair, there have been plenty of front running winners of the Belmont. So, it is what it is. It's always been it's been a mile and a half for my lifetime. Clearly, it has not been a mile and a half always. You know, all the races have changed dates and time and lengths and distances and all that stuff over the years. So. It is what it is. I'd love to see it at a mile and a half personally, but at least they're running it somewhere, and as somewhere special to Saratoga. And obviously Dave Brown will be up there. He's excited, and he'll be doing some more of his short video productions, and I look forward to that. And speaking of Belmont, we're bringing the Breeders' Cup back to Belmont.
I know. In a couple years. Yeah, that news broke, yesterday, I think? Yesterday morning?
Yesterday or day before. Yesterday.
Yep. So Breeders' Cup is going to Keeneland in 2026, and that's always great for the Kentuckians. And then it's coming to the new Belmont Park, which is going to be the massive rebuild, which is why the Belmont Stakes is currently being run at Saratoga. But it's an absolutely massive rebuild project. And it is coming back to the new Belmont Park in 2027. And this is kind of what they've been working for. I mean, they've gone on record and said that they want to have the Breeders' Cup come back to New York, because it's been, 20-something years?
Yeah, and really, you know, this is what Keeneland, it's part of their goal, too, and the massive project that they've got. So it's going to be, obviously, at Del Mar this year. No major massive changes happening at Del Mar at the moment. But for the other two racetracks, they made a commitment to upgrading, increasing capacity, permanent capacity, at least for Keeneland, to ensure that they are a regular host of the Breeders' Cup. That's part of the reason that they're doing what they're doing, and so it certainly is. They've done it, and they set out to do this, and they followed through with their commitments, and it's going to be interesting to see what things look like. I've had the opportunity to talk to the folks at Keeneland about what's coming there, and because they're not going to have everything complete and finished and ready to go this fall meet, but they're expecting a lot of it to be ready to go. And once it's all done and finished, it's going to look very different. Then we can talk about that on another podcast. There's a lot of people like what they're doing. A lot of people really hate what they're doing. That's your traditionalists versus your people that are a little more willing to accept change, maybe. But the plans that they have for the new spaces that they're that they've constructed or in the process of constructing are pretty yep. interesting, and I'm anxious to see what they do with it.
Yeah, in the and in the report yesterday from TDN, they interviewed Keeneland president and CEO Shannon Arvin, and she mentioned there's going to be a new paddock building with yep. enhanced hospitality experiences. Apparently there's going to be like a week of Breeders' Cup festivities. There's going to be, I know the paddock kind of walking area is going to be very, like it was European before. It's still going to be pretty European after they finish with this, like the big grassy areas and the shaded trees and just the very big walking ring style kind of thing. Like it's going to be very much European. But it's very interesting. I've seen snippets of it. I've kind of been over to Keeneland a couple times, and I've seen, you know, the big, I mean, it's hard to miss.
Oh, you can't miss it.
So, but it looks like it's going to be really, really good. And I hope they have plenty of like viewing areas, because that's part of what makes Keeneland as well, is they have so many of these great viewing areas mm-hmm. that you can see the horses and you can see all the excitement, and you're not constantly stuck, you know, in row 17 behind a sea of people on the ground floor. So it's nice. I think I'm one of those people who's a little bit more accepting of change, as you know, as long as it keeps us moving forward and we can keep enjoying it for long in the future. So I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I'm especially looking forward to seeing Belmont Park, because like Keeneland's getting a Reno, but they're rebuilding Belmont Park from the ground up.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I know Dave plans to speak with some of the Belmont Park officials when he's up there when he's up there for the Belmont at yep. Saratoga, and talk to them, especially about the impact of bringing the Breeders' Cup back for the yeah. New York Breeders and New York Breeders Association, all that. So it's a huge deal. It's something they've been working for mm-hmm. a long time, and it's, you know, we've been in this rotation of Santa Anita, Del Mar, Churchill, and Keeneland for a good bit now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's worked pretty well, but, you know, I do think that
there's long been calls of we need to start adding more tracks to here.
Yeah, the people wanted to see some more tracks, and you know, let's be honest, you know, I don't believe California Racing is going to be with us for the long term. So, you got to have some other options other than Churchill and Keeneland. So it's good that Belmont's back in the mix, and hopefully we'll be able to continue using continue to have Santa Anita and Del Mar for a long time in the future. But I just think California Racing is other than the boutique meet of Del Mar, it just seems to be dying on the vine, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot we can do about it.
Yeah, I think that's going to have to be its own. It's going to have to be its own episode, because there's a lot Absolutely. To unpack with that one. But yeah, I'm thrilled that you know that Breeders' Cup kind of held true to their word, and they were like, all right, we see all of this, all you know, these efforts that you're putting into upgrading your facilities and accommodating more people, especially with Belmont, because I know that was a pretty contentious point for a while, where the question was, well, why does it never go back to Belmont? Like, Belmont is one of the largest tracks we have in the country, and it was never going back, you know. So it's nice that we've finally been able to add Belmont Park to the rotation in 2027, because they're currently forecasting that the Belmont Park, the construction should be completed in September 2026. So we'll see. And I know they're going to have, and I think also they're completely retrofitting their tracks as well. Like, they're going to have their existing main dirt track, but they're going to have two turf courses and an all-weather surface, and they're going to open up the infield to fans. Like, if that gives you an idea of how big this track is, they're going to have four tracks and there's still space in the infield. Like, that is insane. That blows my mind. Like, because it's what, one lap is a mile and a half all the way around, isn't it?
Yep,
for the dirt, right. For the dirt track. Yeah, so that gives you a pretty good idea how big this track is.
It's still going to be relative to the same configuration, so.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, that is, that scale is almost, I think, incomprehensible for a lot of people. You can have four individual tracks, still have space in the infield. Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's a good place for us to wrap, because I hear you're getting busy over there on your end.
You hear me clicking away?
Yeah, yeah. I just hear you on your keyboard, so I'm like, all right, well, Jared's a busy man. So this is it's a good place as any to wrap.
We covered a lot.
Yeah, we did. We covered a lot of ground. So, but yeah, thanks everybody for coming back in, and our little recap of the last month and change, I think, because it's been a while since we did a full recap of anything, really.
We recapped the Derby, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it hadn't been too bad. But.
Too bad. But it's still good. But I mean, but it just goes to show a lot can happen in a short amount of time.
That's right.
So thanks everybody for tuning in and getting all caught up with us. And I am super excited about the next couple years for the Breeders' Cup. I'm really looking forward to the new Belmont Park. And hopefully you guys, we've maybe inspired some of you to go do a little bit of your own research and go see what these projects are going to look like. Maybe, take a peek at going to the Breeders' Cup to see some of these new structures, new places. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to us. We promised, so we're going to be recording more often this time. And, thanks for coming in and making it worth our while, So, as I mentioned, every time I end our recordings, I'm gonna say have a good day, because I'm not sure what day this is gonna go on, but have a good day, make good choices, and podcast is out.